All right, this is Wednesday evening, 5:1:24. We're looking at part 10 of the Office of the Prophet. So Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Revealeth, we know, means to disclose. God tells his secrets to his prophets, which we looked at that last week. It's a session, a company of persons in close deliberation, by implication, intimacy, consultation, or secret counsel. So we talked about that God entrusts his prophets with his secrets, and we do not disclose, if we are prophets, God's secrets, or really anyone that gets something from God about someone or something. We don't disclose until God gives the permission to release it. All right? Just as in the military, many are sworn to secrecy. Well, we're the army of the Lord. We're God's military force in the earth, right? We're enforcing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. All right? Just like the military keeps secrets, there's people that are sworn. They can't tell their families. They can't tell anyone what the top brass is telling them to do and the missions they go on. And there are even, after you're not in the military for a while, you can even get in trouble by disclosing something that you were sworn to secrecy not to, even if it's been years since you've been out. That's a fact, all right? We disclose when God says disclose, all right? Old New Testament prophets are seers and hearers. Some hear, some see. All right, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Okay, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God moved upon the prophet. Only three were anointed in the Old Testament, the king, the priest, and the prophet. There were a few that were chosen of God to do exploits. That is in the Bible, but it's not in that context. I think it's talking about the Antichrist or something like that. But anyway, in other words, things are not humanly possible. Things that there's no way a human could do. All right, we're going to look at a few of these tonight. I believe a lot of the judges were prophets. God used them in miraculous ways. And we're going to look at one of those tonight. All right, because I want to look, we're going to get into the subject of the Spirit upon. I said in the Old Covenant, the Spirit of God came upon the person. In the New, he comes inside and then also upon. There's two separate reasons, and we'll look at that. All right, first one is Judges 14. Let me get you. Okay. That's my John Greenwood signed Bible. President Trump. Okay, Judges 14:19. This is the life of Samson. He was one that stood out to me out of all, that did some mighty things. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. All right, Judges 15:4-5. Is that right? Six. That was 14. 15:4-5. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. When he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her father with fire. All right, 14, 16, same chapter 15, 14 through 16. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And later, he drank water out of that same jawbone. Yeah, God supernaturally. All right, Judges 16, 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be as at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So he brought the whole temple down. You know, the movie, it says, we're going to bring the whole, you know what, and temple down. This is what happened. He brought the whole temple down, killed all the Philistines. Okay. Supernatural. All right, 1 Kings 18. All right. Starting with, we'll just read chapter 18 and 19. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land with all unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive. And we lost not all the that we lose not all the beast. Remember this: whenever he's on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, what did he have them do? They had to keep bringing water, keep bringing water. There's not a water shortage. So they divided the land between them to pass through out it, and Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. So it was pretty common knowledge. The Lord would just carry him away in the Spirit somewhere. And so when I come and tell you, Ahab, and cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord that what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Now these were not God's prophets, these were false prophets. They worshiped Baal. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Balaam, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar. Just think about all this work he did and how long it took him. It had to have been supernatural strength to build an altar, dig a trench, and it's dry. Like I said, the heavens have been shut up. No water. They're trying to scrapple for just enough to keep the few cows and horses they had alive. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces. Now, think about that. A whole big old cow butchering that thing. And they didn't have what they have today. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water. Wonder how long it took them to find the water. And he poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Came to pass at the time the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto him, take the prophets of Baal, let none, not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. You think they're going to escape today? No, they're not. In fact, I have a word for Sunday, a small word that's just right about that. They didn't escape then. They're not going to escape now. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. They repented. What happened? The heavens were loosed for rain. And Ahab went up to eat, to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up, look, now look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Before him! After all that he did, the Spirit of God on him. Chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Now think about this. This is someone that was before 450 Satan worshipers and did what he did boldly. And Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. And he takes off running. What happened? Spirit's not on him anymore. What he did under the power of the Spirit. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. So, see, God had to be strengthened. He'd have a sabbatical. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. I'd like to have some of that. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and before the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break to pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance, or the entry end of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. All right, New Testament prophets, they have the Spirit within them, but they always also have the Spirit come upon them. All right, the personal walk is the within, their service walk is without. You can see that in the Old Covenant. The Spirit came on them when they were doing God's business. But when God's business wasn't on them, they were just like everybody else. But we have a far advantage over what they had. We have the Spirit within us that abides within us. Okay? We're going to look at a few scriptures here. It's not just for the prophets, it's for all fivefold ministers, but I say it's for every believer. Every believer. Okay, this is Romans chapter 12. Start with verse 1 there. This is the obligation of every believer. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is part of finding out your service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So these calls are graced by God. They are not just because we think we're good at something, we're just doing something, and we call it God's doing it. No, these are supernatural. These are by grace. These are called the grace gifts. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. When you hear somebody say, well, God didn't call me to do anything, that's not true. It's just they haven't taken the time to find out what it is. And when they get to heaven, God's going to say, what did you do with what I placed in you? Well, I didn't know there's anything. Well, they're going to be in trouble. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So it's up to us. It's our obligation to find out what God has for us to do. Everyone has a piece. We're a body. It's like saying, well, the hand's working, but the foot's not. Be the same thing. If people don't do their part. Many, many years ago, back in the 90s, when we were at another church, it was on a Wednesday night, and the Lord gave me a word, and it was about, I see a puzzle, but there's pieces missing. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. There's pieces missing, and we cannot operate. It's just like when something's missing in your body that's supposed to be there, it's not going to operate at full capacity without all the pieces. We're supposed to operate as a body. Okay? Get in your place by renewing your mind, and grace will come upon you for service. That's what the Spirit of upon you is about. All right, the Spirit, it's called the Spirit of grace. There's only two times in Scripture it says the Spirit of grace. One is in the New Testament, the other is in the Old Testament. We'll look at the Old Testament first. This is Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. All right, the other one's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Well, let me just read 26, put this in context here. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. All right, now let's go to John 14. Look at verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's for your personal walk. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Acts 1:8. Jesus told the disciples or the apostles to go and tarry for power. Wait for the power to come. Right here. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So these guys are apostles, there were disciples there too. So what was the power that came upon? What was it for? For service. To take the gospel. Go back to John. John 7. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But Jesus said, if I don't leave, then the Holy Comforter can't come. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, we're going to see the Spirit upon here. Start with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And like I said, these are not your gifts. These are the Spirit's gifts. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So this is at the Holy Ghost's discretion, who he chooses at any particular time. And it could be a born-again new believer, or it could be a prophet or an apostle. It's whatever the Holy Spirit wills. Okay? All right, the word grace here, out of the vines, says it's charis, charis, bestows on occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard, applied to beauty or gracefulness of person. All right, I want to look at one. This scripture is Colossians 4:6. It says, Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That sounds like service, doesn't it? Like when you're out and about and the Holy Spirit begins to lead you and you strike up a conversation with somebody and words of grace come piling out of you and you'll come back out of that and say, that wasn't me. You know, have you ever had that happen? I have. On the part of the bestower, the friendly disposition for which the kindly act proceeds, graciousness, loving kindness, goodwill generally, divine favor, spontaneous character. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. You know, that this gospel is to be attractive. I mean, when Jesus started his ministry, what did he do? Healed the sick. Blind eyes were opened. People were raised from the dead. Healed of leprosy. See, it's to be gracious. It's like they couldn't resist the words by which he spoke. It's a invitation to the gospel. It's not a, well, you're going to hell, and you know what I mean? That's not the spirit of grace. That, to me, is the spirit of judgment. What do you think you're going to catch with fish, grace or judgment? How are you going to catch fish? With grace. You got to have something tasty on the end of that hook for people to want it. A few more scriptures, we'll be done here. John 16, did we read that already? Well, we read something in John, let's go back there. John, this is 16, no, that was 14. This is 16. There's a lot of scriptures on this. I just pulled out some. 16:14-15. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He's the teacher of the church. All right, 2 Corinthians 8. This is a little bit different grace here. It's one the Lord showed me many years ago. Because I was working and I was taking every about dime I was making and I was giving it to all these ministries. Right here. This chapter is talking about the chapter 8, about the grace of giving. We should be spirit-filled in all things, not just on some things. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, this was a poor congregation, but they were led of the Spirit, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This isn't just bucket plunking, you know what I'm saying? Not just an obligation because you go to a church and they just hound you for money. You know what I'm saying? Now, I do believe in being a tither, but I also know when you give. I'll give you another story. we were at a local church here, and there was a guest speaker. And I said, Lord, how much you want me to give? And I said, you want me to give $100? He said, how much you got in your purse? I said, $3. He said, give that. You know, it's real easy to think bigger is always better. No, obedience is better. Just like the woman with the mites, two mites, or the widow's mite. Jesus commended her because he was looking at her heart, and that was all she had. When all the rich people were putting in big sums of money, he didn't say anything about them. They were doing it for a show. Look how much I've given. No, he was looking at her heart. It's called the grace of giving. Okay, let's go over to chapter 9 there. Just one verse, 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God has graced us for service in the body of Christ. All right.